Hi guys, just a quick note before we start the podcast. On the previous podcast, we said we'd add the Hohokam review to the end of the podcast so you could listen to it. We didn't do this because we forgot, but we did add it to the end of this one. So, please have a listen and please enjoy.
On this week's show,
I talk about Star Trek Discovery. I think somebody needs to contact Starfleet's equivalent of Operation Nutri.
So, I, Sir Jimmy, I'm in the Gobi Desert looking for water. Unfortunately, I have found this waddy.
I don't think you can get away with that.
No, I don't either.
And I watch Black Lightning.
What could be Grease Lightning?
Grease Lightning!
We'll get some overhead lifters and four bell quads, oh yeah.
Keep talking, walk, keep talking.
And I drone on about the new Hydro. Stay tuned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geeks alike, space cadets, evil captains from parallel universe, superheroes with the ability to control lightning, Googlers, and PS4 users. Welcome to this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. Oh, and by the way, I now identify sexually as a sea captain. That's my gender when I fill it out in the form, sea captain. So when it has other, I click on other and type in sea captain.
That's a brilliant idea.
Fuck being an attack helicopter. Sea captain's much better.
Yep.
So, I can see that. Just always a bit more unique. So, as you can hear, I don't have a small person. I placed him somewhere. I'm assuming I've lost him down the back end of the sofa or behind the fridge. So I don't have Nigel with me this week, which is very upsetting. So for the third time this year, say hello, Keith.
Hello.
Because it's just the two of us.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm playing the tune.
All right. Okay. Oh, this week's rundown. We're gonna be talking about the last Star Trek Discovery episode, the first Black Lightning episode, and then we've got some news about the Google console, PS4 hack, and Oscar snub, unrealistic representation of drugs in games, and the fact that the PSN was down and I didn't notice. So, let's start off with Star Trek Discovery.
What an episode.
It was good.
It was very good. It was also very short. Did you notice that? It was only 37 minutes long. It was the shortest episode so far.
Do you know what that sounds like? It sounds like an editorial decision to cut out a lot of shit.
Well, it worked. I mean, I couldn't get enough of it, really. It was a really good episode. But it was very brief in many places. I mean, let's give us a quick rundown of what happened. Basically, Burnham and after the cliffhanger of last week's episode where we find out that the Giorgio from this universe is the Emperor, which was a bit predictable. Basically, Burnham and Lorca head over to her ship and then ensues some shenanigans. You know, she threatens to kill him and blah, blah, and she reveals herself and says, I'm from the other universe, and then somehow gets Giorgio to help her. There is a really lame line in there, though. It really bugs me. Burnham goes to Giorgio, how can I trust you? And the Emperor looks at her and goes, did the Giorgio in your universe have integrity? She went, yes, loads. Well, you can assume that I have the same. No, you're from an alternate universe. Why would you? I mean, they're all fuckers. I mean, the only thing that's wrong with her is she hasn't got the beard. But she is the polar opposite. So you wouldn't trust her. Anyway, that line was really lame. And then the B story was Stanitz meeting Stanitz in the mycelial network. And by the way, before you say I fucking called it, no, you didn't. Because they come back to their own bodies. Not alternate bodies.
I know. The first time I watched it kind of gave me that impression, but it was...
Yeah, it did give me that impression. Well. And I went and watched it again. And he went, oh, I'm back. He did it. So they are in their own bodies, which is kind of lame because your idea would have been better.
Yeah, it would have been better. Plus that he would have been on the ship so he could have rescued them both.
But the bit that really...
But hang on. Go on. Hold on a second. With that, they did give off Cuthbert, or whatever his name was, Cubert.
Hugh, you say every time they say that name, you're hearing exactly what I'm hearing. Hugh, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert, Dibbling Graham.
Yeah,
I hear it every time in the back of my head. Trumpton, for the American people. Just look up Trumpton and you'll understand what we're talking about. But yeah, anyway, the bit that freaked me out was the bit where Burnham sits down. She eats Saru. She literally fucking eats him.
No, she doesn't eat him. She eats another one.
Yes, but it's the same one. It's Suru's thing. She Suru's picks Suru.
She didn't pick Suru.
Yeah, she does.
Suru's on the ship.
Yeah, no, she picks Suru's doppelganger.
No, she doesn't even pick Suru's double.
She did.
That's not Suru's double.
It looks like him.
Yeah, I know. That's because it's just easier makeup wise.
She picks him. And it is Suru. I think they had them all lined up.
No. They just had three randos lined up.
Okay, three randos. Anyway, she eats one of them. That was fucking wrong.
It would have been better if she was eating a Klingon, because there would have been some symmetry to it.
Oh, what? Because the Klingon ate Georgia?
Yeah. You would have gone, okay, fair enough. They caught Vok. They caught Vok on that planet.
They did.
And she scoffed him. That would have made more sense, but storyline wise, it would have kind of been a nice kind of symmetry, and so that there were like polar opposites.
There was that C story going on with Ash Tyler, who is now apparently just Ash Tyler. Somehow she did some voodoo magic shit with those hands.
Or is she Ash Tyler, or did she not just reset the personality a bit?
Well, so she says he's gone, and then she does the whole Klingon death fucking scream thing.
Yeah, but come on, guys. If you're ever going to stick with the new one or not stick with the new one, don't mix it up like that.
Yeah, she did. She did the whole Klingon thing.
That sounds like they caught the penis in the fucking zipper.
Well, it did sound a bit fucking like that. They used to
wear leather trousers. They're that kind of race.
The palace ship. What is that thing in the middle of it? It looks like a fucking small sun.
It probably is a small sun.
That's pretty awesome.
That's probably the power core for him. Yeah, you're right. It is really awesome.
But yeah, we haven't sort of touched on the final big fuck off huge ginormous twist that apparently lots of people go on.
Do you know the worst thing about that twist was? Is I didn't care. I was beforehand. That is. Beforehand, yeah, because I just wasn't paying attention to Captain Lorca. All I was thinking, bit of a shit situation to be in, because I didn't really care at that point until they said it, and I was like, I should have cared. Was the first reaction I had. I was like, I should have cared, because that's a really good twist.
It was a really good twist, and some people got it on the internet, and I saw it a few weeks ago. I went, bollocks. I saw it, and I went, that's bollocks. So I was I didn't see that one coming. Until right at the last second. So it was quite a good twist. But fucking hell, talk about turning him into fucking evil fucking Jimmy Lorca, grooming young ladies. Fuck me. They're not holding back, are they?
Well, they're scumbags in that universe. It's a universe full of scumbags.
He's fucking Jimmy Savile, isn't he? But he is. I mean, the Emperor talks about it. He's going, he groomed you. Well, the Emperor makes the comment that he started off as her father. So obviously, Giorgio was nobbing him. And then he decided that he prefers little girls. And she used the word grooming. And then the torturer dude that comes to get revenge also mentions that his sister was extremely young. Hence the Jimmy Lorca comment he does. I literally just rewatched it so I can make notes.
Okay, I'm going to have to rewatch that. Wow, you've beaten me with observations this week, Keith.
Yes, that's because I'm fresh in watching it. I went back through it. The Emperor talks about grooming. So it's a bit, yes. So it do is we a bit think, dodgy. I'm assuming then that the Lorca from the Starfleet universe is dead then, and that there's going to be no Lorca in season two.
Or hold up in a cell somewhere. The reason is that, what's her name, was a Cornwall, the admiral who slept with him, and Terrence, he wasn't the same.
Well, there's loads of little clues. I mean, if you look at the poster that was released for Discovery. It's hidden in that is the Terran Empire logo. If you look at the poster again, somebody spotted it this week, and you actually look at it and go, oh yeah, I can see it. There's lots of little clues seeded throughout. If you go, you realise the twist, like, you know, he's a bit hazy on memories because she asks him in that same episode, she asked him if he remembered that, and she said, oh, you've forgotten. Of course, he was never there. There are lots of little tidbits.
There's a bit about the whole PTSD thing, and they've used it twice, that PTSD trick. Oh, I've got PTSD. I can't remember. Oh, I'm getting flashbacks. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, all right. It was a good twist. When you look at it, if you look at it objectively and you just kind of step out of it, it's like you pulled that shit twice. You can't pull it a third time. That's it.
They've got three episodes there. I almost hope. I like Jason Isaacs, I don't want to see the other Lorca. Let's kill him off. Don't do what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did, where they kept bringing back what's his face every fucking season, and only finally getting rid of him. They even brought him back in season four, but they brought him back in the season four in an interesting way, which is the only time that I actually welcomed him back. Don't keep doing what you did before. Don't. In season two, if this is your twist, keep it that way. Lorca's gone. Let's get a new captain in. Burnham shouldn't be the captain of the Discovery, but we should see the new captain.
Saru is actually a good captain.
Yes, he is, especially in this episode. He was a bit brutal, wasn't he? Just fucking threw Ashtoner in there, beam him in. Oh, I quite like that. I'm warming to Saru. I am warming to Saru.
I think that the impression you got from the pilot episode, he would have been the shittest captain around and the shittest first officer. But now, when the kind of chips are down, they've made him into actually a really good character, and I do like him as... I do think he should be the captain. Yeah. I genuinely think he should be the captain. I think he should be the captain, and he should get a new first officer, and that should be the new addition rather than getting a new captain on board.
Or Burnham becoming...
I don't think Burnham should be. Burnham can't become captain because she's still.
Yeah, but I reckon it will end with her getting a pardon. You know, they'll get back to our universe, or Discovery is going to just completely set in the Mirror Universe,
or Discovery goes into another universe.
Oh, what, a bit like Sliders? Oh, trying to get home. Yeah. We're lost in different universes. That could work. That could be interesting.
More Quantum Leap, I was thinking, than Sliders.
Yeah, that could be in, yeah, but no, it's not Quantum Leap. You've got no Sam and no Al.
But Captain Archer existed in that universe, so that's
That's where, funny enough, the thing they keep banging on about, Defiant, that was from an Enterprise episode.
Yeah.
That was in the reality. I was trying to go back thinking that wasn't in the original series. It wasn't. It was in one of the many Mirror episodes that Enterprise did.
I only did one Mirror episode.
I thought it did quite a few.
50th or 40th or whatever.
Did it?
No, it didn't.
Did a two-parter then, didn't it? Did a two-parter Mirror.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Fair enough. Right. Yeah, well, that was my observations anyway. So, good episode. Three episodes left.
There are three episodes left.
Okay. Three episodes left.
I thought it finished. I thought, fuck, got to wait till next year now.
No, we've got three more episodes.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll see where they're going. I did like the fact that they had the balls to say this is a 37-minute long episode, but it's 37 minutes of quality. I kind of prefer that, where it's like kind of... They can't do that on TV, but they can do that on Netflix, where they can sit there and say, hey, this episode needs to be just under an hour long. So it'll be under an hour long. This episode only needs to be 37 minutes. It needs to be 37 because it's 37 minutes of quality. If the time frame changes between episodes, as long as it doesn't turn into like a 10-minute episode, the half an hour, 37 minutes, I think it's probably the lowest they could go. But having that ability to go as far or as little allows them to trim it up for quality.
Well, that's what streaming does. I mean, that is the streaming medium. It doesn't need to be a set length. So... It's interesting. But yes, anyway, moving on then. What are we talking about next?
Black Lightning. Grease Lightning, Black Lightning. So yeah, I watched the DC's latest superhero one, I think they need to kill one off in order to bring and use Dead Man's Boots because they've got so many fucking superhero shows going on. Black Lightning, it was on Netflix. I don't know. This is the first thing, the first question I asked. I don't know if it's set in the Flarrowverse.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because they make there are drops in there in regards to superheroes existing in that world.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
But they have specifically said, or when they were making the show, and it was a few, so it could have changed, but at the beginning they did say this wasn't going to exist in the Flarrow universe. Although it's Greg Berlanti, it doesn't exist in the Flarrow universe.
I'll give it mid-season and it will pop it in the Flarrow universe for a crossover. Okay, all right, so it doesn't exist in the thing. It follows Black Lightning, who's, instead of being a startup superhero, he's the opposite. He retired and has come out of retirement. So you've got the main character, I can't remember his bloody name. That's the one thing I didn't write down. Bad note taking. And the IMDb is useless too. It's just got Black Lightning and three dots where his name should be. The actor's name's Chris Williams, and he plays this, what do you call it?
Principal,
yes, thank you. Principal Pierce. Principal Jefferson Pierce. Yeah. That's a good name to have, actually. Jefferson Pierce, who's is head of a school, and somehow in the States, he's got all the kids to wear uniform, which is fucking amazing, because I've never seen, there's only a few schools in the States I've ever seen to have uniforms, and this seems to be a privately funded school, but with public children in, so it's a bit on the odd side there. But he's doing everything he can as a member of the community to make everything better. And I like that, because makes a good role model, yeah? He's a father to his children. Okay, he's got problems with his wife and this, that, and the other, and you understand why he's got problems with his wife. And he's trying to make the place better, and he is making it better, full stop. And then you've got the start of the episode, and he gets pulled over by the police. And I've got a real fucking bone to pick with this scene.
Yeah. I've got a whole bone to pick with this entire setup. One, it's fucking cliche. Go on, you tell your own, and then I'll go into my
book. All right, okay. Being in the car where my dad has been pulled over by the police, yeah? I know how they operate. I've also been pulled over by the MPs on an Air Force base too. And I can tell you one thing, the MPs in comparison to police, from my experience, may not be everyone's experience, is that the MPs were, how can I put it, more disciplined, more polite in the way they did it. But the police kind of pulled over. My dad, being British, got out of the car and walked over to meet the policeman halfway to indicate that he wasn't going to drive off in his car, to which the policeman told him, no, we don't do it this way. Because I can see by your license plate, there's a hire car, so you're not American. He went, no, I'm not American. I'm English. And he was like, all right. So he was quite nice with that. But the police are quite, when they tell you to do things, you tend to do them. And if you do something, you then describe what you're doing to the police so they understand what you're doing, so they don't mistake you for pulling a gun out or something, especially given the way everyone's become overly sensitive to these sort of things. But I think there's something behind this thing.
Yep.
I think that they weren't the police. I think that his friend, who we haven't got to yet, Gambini, set this up to try and trigger him back into becoming a superhero.
Do you think it's a story thing?
I think it's a story thing. I think that was Gambini, because there were two things. It was kind of disregarded because he spoke to his mate who was in charge of the local police, and he turns around and goes, they don't appear to be my guys. He was like, hey, fair enough, they don't appear to be his guys, but if they're doing the local area and they're patrolling the local area, they should be his guys. So I think it was Gambini set up. The reason I say that is, yeah, comes in the shop, I've got a new costume for you. That's awfully fucking convenient. Do you see what I mean?
Yep, I see what you mean. I took the far more cynical view of that.
That it was really poor writing.
That it's been political.
Yeah, but poor writing.
What bothers me most about this show is I think it's a bit out of time. If this was a white superhero, this show would never have been made. And if it was, every single fucking leftist wanker would be screaming, going, where's the diversity? this show is less diverse than a lot of fucking shows on TV now. You look at The Flash, The Arrow, we've got characters of different ethnicities. This one, all black, except one white dude who's questionable. The bad guy that everybody's banging on about saying he's white, no, he's not.
Which means he's an albino.
The guy with the big fucking beard
is an albino
African American. Is he? Both his parents are African American. He's a rapper. And he's an albino. Look at his face.
Seriously, I thought he was like Scandinavian because he looked a bit like a Viking.
Look at his face. It's very, very much African-American.
Are you genuine? Hang on a second. Are you genuine that he's an albino African-American?
Yes, I checked it out. I Googled
it. You checked it out. The character is, not the actor.
I don't know about the character, but the actor is Afro-American. He's just an albino.
Fucking...
Both his parents. Both his parents
fucking
are
white
black.
Whale.
So it's a black witch. Hang on.
Keith. Mm-hmm. He's his white whale. Tobias Whale.
His name is Tobias.
Yeah, Tobias Whale. It says that right at the beginning when he goes out and looks for Tobias Whale wanted for murder.
I haven't got a
problem with that because the source material it's ironic because the source material is set in a place called Suicide Slums, where this is like Freelance.
But it's all a bit cliche. You've got you know, black people killing black people. You've got the coppers, you know, being racist. You've got all the street crime and trouble in the hood and that kind of thing. And I just felt I've seen this all before. Having said that, the second episode is better. The wife is very, very, very annoying. She gets even more irritating. Yeah, she is, and I've never liked her. She was in Doctor Who. She was in the episode with, what's his face?
Simon Pegg.
She's always irritating me. I've never liked her in anything she's ever been in, but it's the character that bugs me in this, because in the second episode, you find out why she's so anti-Black Lightning, because she thinks he becomes addicted to his powers. But it's like, all this shit has gone down. The daughters have been kidnapped. You know, she's still having a go at him for being Black Lightning. You're like, hang on. She's almost becoming Iris West of this universe. And I don't need another show where the irritating character is, one, a woman, and two, the girlfriend. It feels like it's... There's too many cliches at the moment.
She hasn't gone the... You're not Black Lightning. We're Black Lightning.
No, she hasn't done that yet. But she is a neurosurgeon, which you don't kind of believe. It feels a bit cliche, but it is different. But having said that, it is different to anything else that they've done, and it does feel fresh respect.
Just a quick, go back to the neurosurgeon comment. Is it me, or when you say like neurosurgeon, do you always get the impression of someone who is borderline autistic, but hugely clever?
Yes.
As a cliche. If you say a neurosurgeon, you'd expect someone who is socially inept, but fucking brilliant at neurosurgery.
Yes. But she doesn't come out with... It's funny. I mean, I used, back in the day, I'm really sad, and I watch a lot of soaps and shit like that, and I used to watch Grey's Anatomy, and you believed he was... they used to call him McDreamy, whatever it is, Patrick something. You believed he was a neurosurgeon. He was none of that. You watch her, and it's some of her lines that she says, you're just like, really? You're a neurosurgeon? But, you know, again, it's the four-episode rule. And the certain things I do like about it does feel fresh. I like... It feels a bit more street level and a bit more street than Arrow ever did. And I like that. It does have a certain... You can tell they've watched Nick Cage. You can tell
Luke Cage, not Nick
Luke Cage.
Cage.
Sorry, Luke
Nicholas Cage. They just watched Nicholas Cage round his house.
You can tell that they watched Luke Cage in this, because Luke Cage heavily influences this.
I preferred it to Luke Cage.
No, I prefer it to Luke Cage, definitely.
Luke Cage is kind of it's, as I said, the problem with Luke Cage is with a Netflix series, they tend to do all that kind of martial arts stuff. Yeah. And it kind of makes the fights exciting. And then you've got the Punisher, where they can do the cool stuff with the guns. Luke Cage, I don't think they've got the creativity to put something together where they can use his power set to look exciting. It's just a guy who walks in the room, punches a load of people who can't punch him back.
Luke Cage should have had a series, really, but he's getting another one, so, you know.
Well, they've got an opportunity to fix it. Because remember, the second series of Daredevil was fucking awesome.
I liked the fact it was more violent. I liked that it felt fresh and different enough. I just hope they move away from the same old tired cliches that you seem to get in every show of this kind of thing. You know, Luke Cage did it. Give us something different. I know there's source material, but change it up a bit. It's interesting that the daughters, because in the comics, the daughters have powers as well, and they are exploring that already. So at the end of the first episode, the daughter shows off her powers, and then she, again, at the end of the second episode, she shows off some powers. She's also a lesbian.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
They do that. If I was a black woman watching TV, I'd be pissed off because the moment they introduce a black woman, they turn her into a fucking lesbian. The only one who happens is Iris West.
I told you, it's Doctor Who. It's that whole Doctor Who scene. The only thing that Doctor Who scene didn't know is she didn't walk over and kiss another woman. That's the only fucking thing she didn't do. You know, an old, tired white guy regenerates into a black woman. The only thing that never happened was she went and kissed another woman. That would have been it. That would have been, you know, the whole... I'm gonna play your 4-episode rule on it. I think it is worth watching. I recommend it. You might be able to see past the tired cliches more than I do. It just irritates me. But that's me. I like him.
Yeah,
I do like.
He's
him,
good,
and I think he's well cast.
He is well cast. He's very charismatic. You can watch a lot of screen time with that actor. I think he's awesome.
I do like him. I like him. And I think I think if they move away from those cliches. And the other thing I like about it is it's not doing an episode of the week kind of thing, monster of the week kind of thing. It's following a serialized format, which is a bit different again to... I know the Flash and Arrow have running themes, but they still, you know, almost have... Although Arrow's more serialized this time around as well. So we shall see.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I felt that you're talking about the addiction part of Black Lightning, yeah? And I felt that there are a couple of bits which were out of place. The bit where he blows up the cop car. Yeah? I thought it was completely unnecessary. Yeah, and it wasn't like he intentionally blew up that car. Mm-hmm. He didn't sit there. It wasn't collateral damage from a fight with someone else. It wasn't like he was using it as a weapon or anything. He blew the car up.
Well, maybe the wife is right. Maybe he is addicted to his powers and maybe it does make him go crazy, which could be interesting.
And the other side of it too is there was some bloke in a hotel room shagging a prostitute. He went to go and run out and he fucking stunned him back in the room. I don't hope he stunned him or he killed him. Yeah.
Stunned him.
Yeah. But it's there were those things that kind of stuck out, and I don't know if they're little indicators that maybe you're right when it says that. So I think it's worth a watch. I'm going to definitely do the 4-episode rule for this one.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I do like the fact the character, the actor's very watchable. He's a very good character.
The main character is likable, and they're quite good at this. I mean, all of the DC shows, the characters have flaws, but they are. They do have
likable
qualities. I think, to me, Barry and Cisco, out of all of them, I like. Ollie from Arrow is likable, but Felicity all the way for me. Not because she's hot, she is hot, but I like Felicity. You see, that's the thing that really annoys me. All the women in Arrow are not irritating.
Half Morris.
But Iris in The Flash...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So
we should move on.
Worth checking out if you can see past the crap writing. But saying that, Star Trek Discovery started really fucking poorly.
Yep.
Didn't it?
Yep.
And it ended on a bright
liking it now.
On the bright side. On the bright side. Because it started so poorly, it could only go up.
Yeah, this is true.
It couldn't go any further down.
This is true.
It, So that was a good thing. All right. My phone gave me an alert to say that Google, this is the fucking worst article I've ever read. I think it's from the Daily Star, and it said, Google are considering making a gaming console to compete with Xbox and PlayStation. That was it. There was no more information on that fucking article.
So are they making a full-on gaming console, or are they making a set-top box? Because you can already play Android games from the Android App Store on a lot of set-top. I mean, we've got a set-top box here, and that's Android-based, and I've hacked it to shit. I can play Android games on it, all sorts of stuff. So is it going to be that, or is it going to be a full-on uber-duber PlayStation, you know, equivalent console? Because good luck with that, because I can't see it taking off. I mean, it's very difficult.
I haven't heard them of having any dealings with EAs or the Activisions or buying any kinds of. It's like when Amazon bought their Fire thing, their Fire TV, and they were putting games on that. They bought a gaming company. But Google haven't bought any gaming companies and doesn't appear to have spoken to any gaming companies. So I don't know what's going on there.
I can't see how they'll get anywhere. I mean, the publishers don't want more consoles because it means more money, effectively, in an industry at the moment that has been struggling. I can't see this happening. I wouldn't see what the appeal is. You know, Xbox, PS4, they're already established. Establishing, and then you've got the Switch, you've got Nintendo, who, you know, have been there for years, and people love Nintendo, so they will always give Nintendo a free pass, and we do a lot. You know, the Switch has made a comeback, and a lot of people love the Switch, but even then, the publishers are weary of it. I can't see Google getting away with this. And Google's not a cool brand, despite, and in fact, its coolness is lessening in recent years, and it'd be interesting.
Yeah,
but I don't buy it.
No, I don't buy it until I hear activity happening within gaming developers. As soon as I start hearing that, then I'll believe it. But at the moment, it sounds like it's going to be a Chromecast Plus or something.
I would say so. I would say it's probably going. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a more powerful version. It's going to be like the Apple TV.
No, Pixelcast, not Chromecast. It'll be called Pixelcast,
or it'll be Pixel TV.
It'll be big. Yeah, that. Yeah,
okay. They might be making a box a bit like the new Apple TV 4K, which you can play, and you know, iOS games on there, and they look pretty cool on your TV. It's probably more like that, and that could sell.
Yeah,
that market it could sell in, but I don't buy the hardcore console market. No.
Okay. All right. Next one. PlayStation 4. It's been hacked. So the clever people who like doing homebrew stuff have figured out how to hack the PlayStation 4. The downside is that they've only managed to hack the November 2016 firmware version of it, which means the hack's not going to work on any one of our consoles. It allows you to this is the thing, is that the hack allows you to copy any of the games directly onto the console, so you don't need a disc to reuse it, which I thought would imagine be the first thing. But the interesting thing, this is the really cool thing, is someone's come up with a PlayStation 2 emulator. I imagine it runs like a bag of shit to start with, but given, I don't know, a couple of months development, I imagine they'd start fine-tuning it and getting it working, which means your PlayStation 4 is capable of emulating PlayStation 2 games.
Why the fuck don't they do it? I mean, Xbox have done it. Why don't they do this? I don't see why they don't allow backwards compatibility. It just bugs the shit out of me why they don't do this.
Yeah. It really does. It's one of those things where we now know that there's proof that someone somewhere can do it, and someone somewhere has done it. So given that, they should do it. And I reckon they should sell the emulation software if they're worried. Now, price of a game, what's that? $60 in the States. That's the max I'd expect for it. And then you can sit there and play all your PlayStation 2 games to your heart's content. Are you looking for a dog with a runny bottom?
No, I'm sorry. I apologise. I was hoping that I was able to cover that up. My wife has just messaged me going, have you seen the dog? I'm like, no, I can't see the dog. So I'm assuming the dog is probably outside somewhere. Oh, what fun.
You're going to have great fun cleaning up that shit. And I mean that shit.
Yeah, dog's got shits. Lovely. anyway.
Yeah.
Where were we? You were talking about the PlayStation 4. I don't know why they don't make them backwards compatible, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, same here. The thing is that I do believe that the backwards compatibility is only really relevant for the first year and a half of a console's life. That's when you want backwards compatibility. The reason you want it is they haven't made enough fucking games for the current console.
Me and Knight constantly reference this. Knights of the Old Republic. I'd fucking play the shit out of that even now. There are games out there from all those years back that are really, really fucking good. And you see past the crappy graphics, or what we would consider crappy graphics now, because the games are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
There is a call for having backwards compatibility, because some of those games, which they haven't made now, are really good. So, I don't know.
Okay. All right. So, next story I got. Wonder Woman gets snubbed at the Oscars. Surprise.
I don't get this. I saw this story the other day. I was like, what do you mean it's got snubbed at the Oscars?
It's not a snub, it's just a superhero. The Avengers didn't get a fucking Oscar for fucking best film when that came out. And that was awesome. Batman, The Dark Knight, which is probably one of the greatest films ever made, let alone superhero films ever made, didn't get put in for fucking best picture.
And it was way better than Wonder Woman. I mean, don't get me wrong, I bang on saying that Wonder Woman was a good film. It was. Also, you'll hear me say it's the best DC movie today. Let's face it, the DC movies haven't been fucking great. So Wonder Woman, you know, didn't have a lot to live up to. The fact it was a good movie, you know, just helped.
It's mad. It really is mad.
You know what it is? Because it was a female director on the thing, and it's some feminist wanker somewhere saying.
Yeah. It's all politics. They don't really care whether the film's any good. They just want to get it in there because of politics. Yeah, this is a good one. The BBC reported a story from its Northern American correspondent that there was a study done, and gamers have an unrealistic perception of drugs because of games. To which I reply, no duh. Really? Oh, so when I play a game like Doom or Bioshock, yeah, I can shoot myself up with a gene-altering serum, which will give me the ability to shoot fireballs out of my hands along with bees. Yeah. And it's just, I found it really weird because I think this is going to be used to put a new classification inside games for the SRB with contained drug references, mild sex references, and crude humour. They even state Mario doesn't help too. So like scoffing magic mushrooms.
Yeah, I mean,
and flowers gives you ability.
Again, some leftist PC wanker just making hoo-ha out of nothing.
I don't know if this is leftist. This sounds a bit like the conservative side. But given the fact that both sides are now becoming puritanical, actually saying the left side is being more puritanical than the right side at the moment, this kind of fits. But it's like kind of, they say 61% used real world names for drugs. Yeah, so it's like in Grand Theft Auto. If you played the last Grand Theft Auto,
five. Yeah,
do you play the bit where the guy gets his fucking son's drugs after he tricks him into taking them, and then he has the mad fucking thing about falling out of a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is brilliant, and then seeing aliens and shit, and it's like okay.
There's all the drugs in Far Cry 4 as well. You remember the hippies up in the mountains?
Yes, burning the whole stash.
I mean, you get on drugs and then go to Shangri-La. I mean, for fuck's sake.
I like the fact that when you were burning the drug fields down, halfway through you started getting high. So your so the game's just meant to throw your concentration out, so you're destroying these drugs, but the fumes are making you go fucking doolally. We know they're not real. It's fantasy. Yeah. It's a game, for fuck's sake, people. It's like having a survey to see if people believe that water is wet. Seriously, all right, we surveyed 100 people and 100 people came back to us. It's definitive, water is wet. Apart from one person who got confused. Asking why we were asking this shit.
I'm fed up with so many people trying to mollycoddle me. You know, I'm being told that I what to think. When you take pop pills or whatever you do in a fucking game, it doesn't make me want to go outside and do it in real life. And if there is somebody that does do it and says, "Oh, because I learned it off on the computer game," well, then maybe, no offense, survival of the fittest and everything, if you get what I mean. You know, maybe we're doing the world a favor by offing them, getting rid of that person kind of thing, you know, in an already overpopulated world. The trouble is, we mollycoddle these people too much and they would never survive in nature. So why the fuck do we let them survive here? I'm sorry, that's probably the really worst thing to say, but it's the fucking truth. I mean, seriously, man, that fucking dumb name serves them right. Sorry.
Yeah. It is. It's one of those things I found.
We've got to stop fucking wrapping everybody up in bubble wrap and crap, because it's bollocks. You know, there's far worse things to worry about, like, you know, use of social media and actually serious topics and things like that, than fucking worrying about somebody playing a computer game and thinking, if I pop this mushroom in real life, it'll have the same effect on me.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Those people who can consume any media, doesn't matter what it is, being social media, gaming media, literature, films, television, anything like that, they're going to react like that way, full stop. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. So it's weird. I don't even know why they fucking bothered putting the study out. But I just thought it was interesting because it was one of those things I read and went, really?
Yeah, no, I know where you're coming from. I know where you're coming from.
Okay. PlayStation Network was out at one point.
How long for?
I didn't know. I don't know. I didn't see it. Apparently it was out. It was probably out for a day or something. I did have trouble downloading a patch for... not a patch. The update for it. I went to go down the update, and the update just kind of got caught in a spiral. So what I did is I turned the router off, turned PlayStation off, turned it all back on. Worked. But apparently it was out. There's no attack. The thing is, there's no attacks. No Lizard Watch, you know, winding people up over the internet. No LulzSec winding people up over the internet. But apparently it was out.
Fair enough.
Which was fine.
I've got a story this week. You all know I'm into my drones. DJI released a new drone this week in the most Apple-style event I have ever seen. In fact, it was more Apple than Apple. They even had, right, get this, when they did the whole product launch thing, they were using exactly the same logo. I'm really excited to show you. And, yeah, it was a fucking out of the dictionary of Apple show fucking thing. But the thing they even had, they even, you know, when you get the whole what's his face, Johnny Ive does that video at the end where he buggers on about, you know, design. They even had an English dude going on about the design of the product in exactly the same way as Johnny Ive. But anyway, by the by, this is a fucking interesting drone. And okay, so much so that I've fucking ordered one. And I don't tend to do that, but I've ordered this. I've gone, fuck it, I'm selling mine, and I've ordered this because, I mean, they've been very clever. They have every fucking YouTuber that is worth their salt has got one. So DJI have obviously sent out all of these, and they've had them for months, and they've obviously signed non-disclosure acts.
What's the name of the drone?
It is called the Mavic Air.
The Mavic Air.
And it looks fucking lovely. It looks
that sounds I'll be honest with you, that sounds very fucking iPod.
It is. It's very Apple. Everything about it was Apple. I mean, people are referring to them as the Apple of drones. They are. I mean, they even favour, they don't even now bother putting design for Android as on their boxes. It's just designed for iOS. I mean, they've got an Android app, but most people out there who've owned a DJI drone know that they don't always play nice on an Android device, which actually is bollocks because there are more Android devices out there than there are iOS devices. So really, pull your socks up and get the Android app working.
And so I'm just having a nose. Has it got two forward-facing cameras or two rear-facing cameras?
No, it's got. But this is the thing. It's got two rear-facing. They're not. Well, they are cameras, but you don't. They are sensors. So they're object avoidance sensors, and it's got two forward object avoidance sensors, and it's got obviously ones in the bum. But it's ones at the back because none of the other drones, other than the Phantom series, which are fucking serious money, have ever had rear sensors. This thing is better than the Mavic in many respects. The Mavic Pro. It's the same camera, 4K. In fact, it can shoot in HD at 120 frames a second, so it can do slow-mo, effectively. Not in 4K, but in HD it can do slow-mo, which, again, 120. You need a serious fucking SD card for that.
Because 120... Right, yeah. It's £769, including tax.
Which is £600 cheaper than the Mavic Pro when that was launched, and it's better.
Hang on a second, and this is my big question. How are you going to afford headphones?
I'm spending
that much money on a drone.
It's still cheap.
Selling my kidney.
I'm selling my DJI Spark. I'm selling my Spark in order to get this because I never thought I'd replace the Spark because I love it. I really do love the Spark. Yeah, this one. I saw this and I watched the launch event. I was like, this is interesting, but you know. And then I started watching all the YouTube videos, and I'm thinking, oh, shit. I really like this drone. It's the rear avoidance sensors, and the fact that the battery lasts a lot longer, and the range is better. Because I want a Mavic Pro, but I really, at this point, I'm still a bit, you know, I don't think I've had enough experience to warrant spending the best part of £1,300 on a drone. So this one is basically, to me, I don't know why they've called it the Mavic. I think it's because it folds. It really is the Spark 2. But the range on it is double that of the Spark. It does 4K, even though... Why the fuck you need 4K in a consumer drone? I'm still not convinced. I mean, it's one thing I watch a lot of these YouTube videos and they criticize Spark by saying hasn't got 4K. Who the fuck watches anything in 4K? You know, in the consumer market, who the fuck is watching 4K? Not that many people at the moment. The only fucking service available in the UK is Sky and Sky Q, and even then, there's not a lot of 4K content. Netflix.
And there's Netflix.
Netflix, but not all of Netflix's content is 4K, only their own stuff, and even then, only select stuff of theirs, and you have to pay extra to get the 4K. It's not in the default thing. If you want the uprated thing, you have to pay $9.99 a month.
Yeah.
Nobody's watching 4K, so why is it a criticism? When 4K becomes, you know, the mainstream, fine, but it isn't yet. So... The 4K for me is not a deal breaker. The fact that it does it is interesting. It's more the 120 frames a second slow-mo HD that interests me, and the range and the battery life. The battery life, realistically, is going to be 1.5 times longer than mine. I mean, I was flying today. I've got an idea for a new film. And my batteries were lasting me 11 minutes. I mean, they say 16 minutes, but because I was zooming around in sports mode, 11 minutes. I got 33 minutes of footage off three batteries. And I was just like, yeah, I've made the right decision here. I need more time. So, yeah, I've ordered it. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is the drone that I've been waiting for. It's foldable. It's light. It's fucking tiny. I mean, the Spark is small. This is smaller than the Spark when it's folded up. So it's something I can go, you know, I can just stick in the bottom of the bike and away I go. So yes, have a check out. If you want a good drone, this is a good starter drone. Yeah, they're expensive, but every fucking drone is. If you want a proper pro-consumer drone, they are not cheap. But this is interesting.
Okay. And on that note, I believe it's time to wrap up.
I just want to say, have you been watching the Grand Tour, the second
yes,
season?
Yes, I've been watching the Grand Tour.
Is it me, or is the second season way better than the first?
The second season, it's good, but it feels a bit, it sounds awful, it feels like they're spending less money. But given the fact that Richard Hammond has crashed two cars in the fucking series, I can understand why it seems like they're spending less money.
I've enjoyed the second season more. Have you seen the latest episode yet with the old cars versus the Honda?
The new Honda ones, Civic. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that episode. I thought it was really good. I liked them going around that bank track. Shame it's not Brooklands, but Brooklands doesn't exist like that anymore. But
yeah, Brooklands is this fucking shopping centre. Imagine the fucking.
Yeah, it was a travesty that they were able to take apart that track. That was an absolute travesty. You know, and a track that got used once in Spain still exists. Yet, you know, a track that was the first racetrack in Britain got cut up to make way for a fucking Tesco's and Marks and Spencer's.
But the aerodrome was also taken down too.
Yeah, but the aerodrome is quite historic. I mean, okay, it was the site of Vickers and the bouncing bomb, blah, 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 blah. But no, racetrack. Anyway, I'm quite enjoying the second season of the Grand Tour. I think it is better. And I'm so glad they got rid of that celebrity brain crash thing. It was just such bollocks. At least they got celebrities back now. That joke was like, okay, that was funny the first couple of times. But then it just got boring.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. They had, what was it? They had Bill Goldberg on there, who was a wrestler. I hadn't seen since like the early 2000s because I had stopped watching wrestling. And it was just amazing to see him harp on about cars and stuff and driving and whatnot.
Him and Anthony Joshua was quite a good pairing. I quite like that. I like the pairing of the celebrities, and they've been quite good pairings. And the drummers this week, the old school drummers, they were good.
Well, yeah, Copland and the guy from Pink Floyd. I can't remember his name now.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but they were good.
Yeah,
but they yes, anyway.
Yes, as I was saying before, so I think it's time we say goodbye.
Yeah, okay, goodbye.
So goodbye. And you'll hear from us on the next podcast where I won't be eating pretzels during the entire performance. Thank you.
Bennett. Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/monkeynutpunch.
This is a gaming face punch review of Hohukum on the PlayStation 4. Hohukum is an art video game by developer Honeyslug in collaboration with Richard Hogg. It takes place in a brightly artistic Technicolor world. It is a zen-like game which has no tutorial and no instructions. and the majority of the game is you actually trying to figure out how to play the game. You play the antagonist, the Long Mover. His job is to glide through the world and solve puzzles. The Long Mover. The Long Mover. Stop. It's a fucking giant sperm, isn't it? You spend the first level in a ball sack trying to find the other sperms, and when you do find them, you finally get ejaculated out into the world. And when you're finally out in the world, you spend half your time trying to find birds with your spermy friends. And don't tell me it's not a fucking sperm. This is Richard Hogg's avatar that he puts on the front of every game that he's involved with. Come on, you can't tell me that a guy who has an avatar with 10 balloons stuck down his trousers hasn't decided to make a sperm game. I recommend this game to people who have a sense of humour and need to calm down. With its zen-like gameplay and tones, it is something that you can sit down and relax to. This gets a gaming face punch 3 out of 5, because what man or woman doesn't like playing with their dingleberries? I've been Nigel, your narrator, and this was Gareth's idea. Not mine. Not mine. It was Gareth's. Thanks so much for watching this video.
If you enjoyed it, hit that like button.
If you want to see more, hit that subscribe button.
And don't forget to comment down below.
Follow us on Twitter.
Add us on Google+.
And like us on Facebook.
And don't forget, we've got a website too.